On today's show, we'll recommend an EV for an unhappy Ford Mustang Mach-E owner, a family wanting to upgrade from their Chevrolet Bolt, and a viewer in need of a commuter to pile on the miles and haul dogs. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast, where we make EV recommendations to order. This is episode number 36. I'm Dominic Chione, and I am joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast, along with Todd Malogny from senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. Now, if you're looking for your own battery bargain recommendation, send us a one-minute video or an email with a couple short paragraphs describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've edited these emails a bit for length and clarity. So are you guys ready to go car shopping?
Let's go.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Jason, and he writes, "Hello. Late last year, I purchased a 2023 Ford Mustang Mach-E. While I have enjoyed the car, it has unfortunately been at the dealer for the past several weeks. They believe they know the fix, but the part is backordered for at least a couple more weeks. I've submitted a request with Ford for a buyback of the vehicle. Not sure if it will be approved, but if it does, what should I get to replace the Mach-E? Need something at least as big as a Mach-E and would like it to be similarly fun to drive. I'm open to another one, but I am happy to consider other options as well. Budget would be in the mid-50,000s. The Chevy Blazer SS looks interesting, but may not be available until 2025 and maybe over budget. Any other suggestions? Jason." Right. Well, this is an interesting conundrum. So I guess he's a little frustrated with his Mach-E situation here in the dealership for some unknown fix. I don't know. What comes to mind right off, Tom?
So, you know, nobody's ever happy when their vehicle is broken and the dealer can't immediately diagnose it and swap it out and you get it back. So I understand their frustration for sure. I mean, you know, I mean, this happens. It happens with any vehicles. I'd be surprised if this one incident will get you qualified for buyback. Typically, you have to have multiple problems or the vehicle has the same problem that the dealer can't fix over multiple times. Every state has different, let's say, lemon laws. I'd be super surprised if you had one problem that sidelined the vehicle, even if it's 4 or 5 weeks, if that triggers a buyback. But as I said, there's different rules in different states. And it does seem like you've generally been happy with the vehicle besides this issue. So, you know, my initial reaction would be to say, you know, just remain patient. I know it sucks. I don't know if the dealership's giving you a loaner. I mean, they should at this point. You should have a vehicle to use while they sort this thing out. But, you know, my initial thought would be like, you like the Mach-E, give it another chance, let them fix this. And if you have a problem after it, then you could ramp up the buyback drums. You could start beating the buyback drums. But if you've really had it and you decided, you know, hey, this isn't for me, the SS Blazer sounds like it's going to be a good vehicle. I don't know if that's going to fit your timing. But one vehicle that I thought that might not be at the, you know, top of your mind, but might be interesting is a used BMW iX. You'd have more space than you have now. It's a little bit of a bigger vehicle, a lot bigger. It's got a lot more cargo space. They are fun to drive. And I'm seeing used BMW iX now in the mid 40s. So you could get a higher trim one with lower miles for 50-ish is what you're talking about in the 50s. The vehicle is going to be practically brand new. I mean, you know, low mileage, year old EV is like a new vehicle. So, you know, that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to say, you know, the hold on to the Mach-E, give it another shot. But if you're really ready to move on, take a look at some of the BMW iX out there. I think you're going to find that it's actually a fun vehicle to drive, even though it's a big, you know, a bigger SUV. The iX drives great. And you'll be stepping up a couple notches in the premium category.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice car. I don't think you're getting a buyback on one issue. I don't understand all the different state laws. I think Ohio is something like eight, I'd read, eight different issues or eight attempts to fix something. And then there's other states have a period within, you know, 30 days within a certain period. It seems to do a buyback or a lemon law to be a series of issues that they can't fix. And you, it's just that there's so much wrong with the car. You don't know where to start. One issue, I don't think is going to get you that. Bearing in mind, we've come out really of this supply chain disruption, but I needed a new auto wiper sensor just after the pandemic. And that was probably a 2-month wait. Now, not the end of the world. You can activate the wipers automatically. No, it wasn't the wipers. It was the lights, auto headlights. It was the nighttime sensor. Not the end of the world. You just don't have it on auto. And it's like, you know, going back 15 years. But that was just a supply chain thing. And it just could be a supply chain thing with Ford. So I don't think you're going to buy back. And you seem to like the Mach-E. If it's a kind of car that you're saying, oh, we had this problem and this problem and this problem, and my wife drives at night and I don't trust it, change it. You know, it's gone. But it's lost your heart. Even if it hasn't lost your head yet. But you're not saying that. So I think you should keep it. I think you should get this issue sorted and stick with the Mach-E. But otherwise, yeah, like fun cars like the Kia EV6 GT, super fun. Right up there with the Mach-E is all good, but I'd say stick, don't twist.
Interesting shit with that EV GT. I have one ready to show. Just about, yeah, just 37,988. 4,899 miles, like 4,900 miles, less than 5,000 at 2023. So still lots of warranty coverage. A nice, fun car to drive. But like the guys are saying, maybe if you want to just keep the, keeping the Mach-E kind of makes some sense. But I feel like this is a good opportunity to kind of explore, you know, what's out there a little bit. So maybe, you know, pop over to the Kia dealer and, go for a test drive and that. The range, you get quite a range hit on those GT trims, though. That's like a 218-mile EPA car. So a little low on range, but a lot more fun than the regular Kia EV6. And you know, those are pretty nice. But I think they're also a little bit smaller than the Mach-E, Mustang Mach-E. So another one that came to mind, now I'm not exactly sure what the status of this is right now, but it's kind of at the top of your budget at $54,900 for the rear-wheel drive version. But it's brand new. It's the 2024-25, I guess, probably, a Polestar 4. It's just a quality. It's just a great driving vehicle. It's with the rear-wheel drive, it's not as quick as the Mustang, I don't think, but it would be definitely more of a driver's car. So that's just my suggestions. I would just throw out there to check those out maybe. And, but you probably like your Mustang GT, or maybe if you like the Mustang GT, maybe keep your eye out for a low mileage, Mustang Mach-E Rally. I don't know if you like that sort of off-roadish kind of rally style, but you know, those are pretty hot. That's like the Ford Mach-E, performance version. But with a little extra ride height and those kind of fancy looking wheels. I'm not sure what the market is for used ones right now. There's probably not a whole lot out there yet, but I really like that BMW iX shout out though. Really kind of like the best, actually. I think if you go from like the Ford into that BMW, you won't want to go back. It's just like a really nice place to be, you know? Yeah, that was a good shout, Tom. All right. Should we move on to another next email? All right. So our second email comes to us from Jeff. And he says, hey, guys, what are your thoughts for replacing our 2019 Chevrolet Bolt? We also have a 2007 Toyota Prius wrapped with our business name and information, and a 2020 Subaru Ascent. We would like to consolidate back down to two cars. We need a little bit more space than the Bolt offers us. We have a 2-year-old daughter, and between her car seat, stroller, and other things, we find we run out of room quickly, especially going grocery shopping. The Bolt is what we put the majority of our miles on. We have almost 120,000 miles on it since buying it new in October 2019. Wow. We live in southern Indiana and take frequent trips to Wisconsin. We would like to be able to take the electric car more, so DCFC, DC fast charge speeds, better than the Bolts would be great. We often traverse very hilly, not well-maintained driveways in the area, so all-wheel drive is needed. We would likely be selling both the Bolt and the Prius, so we'd probably be wrapping the new car in the business wrap. The options we've been considering are a Tesla Model 3, or preferably a Model Y, Kia EV6, maybe Polestar 2. We would like the range to be a little closer to 300 miles, as we fairly regularly use most of our range in a day, especially in winter. Wanting to stay in the 35,000 ballpark and used is probably best, but open to a good new deal. Looking forward to ideas. Jeff. Well, that's a tough one. Martin, $35,000 ballpark, but needs like 300 miles of range.
So, I've not looked. How new can we get a used Model Y for Jeff at 35? We should get a Model Y at 35 in the US. You can't get 30. Maybe you can get 35 over here. But yeah, obviously that's pounds. If you can get into an all-wheel drive Model Y, I think that's your option. Because it ticks all of your boxes, a family car, as a car that will be your all-around car, because you're going to sell two of your cars and end up with one, which the Model Y is going to be great at. It's going to leave you absolutely worry-free when you do your occasional road trips, and you've got a two-year-old, like you say, so you don't want to be worrying about where you DC fast charge. Good shout on Polestar 2. I do like my Polestar 2. We did... our family holiday last week in that, and it did pack everything in, you know, in terms of the two cases and the scooter for my little one and the push chair for my two-year-old and all that kind of stuff. So it did swallow everything. What was very fortuitous is the cot bed, the travel cot that we have for our two-year-old, that all kind of folds up into Rubik's Cube origami thing, is the perfect size for the ski hatch of a Polestar 2. So that got shoved through the ski hatch and was a little drinks rest for my two kids on our family holiday last week. So, look, it does swallow everything, but I do think that if it was our only car, I'd probably have a Model Y, or I'd have something that was more SUV-like, or at least... crossover-like. The Polestar 2 is very much a saloon car, with hatchback, obviously. So I'd have a look at how close can you get to your Model Y spec, because you're getting rid of two cars, and this needs to be a do-everything car. And the Model Y is a really good do-everything car.
So what do you think, Tom?
Well, I think Martin makes a good argument for the Y. While the Polestar 2 is a great car, Martin owns one and he could speak to the hauling cargo better than I can. I think that that's not going to be that much of an upgrade over the Bolt as far as space-wise, as far as what you can haul, whereas like a Model Y or an EV6 or something like that, a bigger vehicle will make a big difference in your cargo capacity. It'll give you a lot more room. You mentioned room is an issue with the Bolt. So I think thinking along the lines of the Y might be the right way to go. The EV6 you mentioned, that's another good choice. I'd drive both of them if I were you and see which one you're more comfortable with. I'd maybe even give an all-wheel drive Mach-E a chance, because that's going to fit right in that price range. And, you know, if you get a good deal on a used one and, you know, the range, I think the all-wheel drive Mach-E is around 270 or 275, the EPA range rating. So now... you are getting closer to that 300 miles, as you mentioned, and we've done range tests with them. It seems to fare well, the Mach-E, on at highway speeds. So, I think you're already on a good course with Model 3, Model Y, and EV6. Maybe expand that and take a look at a Mach-E, unless you just don't like it. But I think those vehicles. Within that little group there, you could find the vehicle that's right for you. But do test drive them. You know, it's great to take other people's opinions. But, I mean, there's so many times where I take other journalists, I'll read an article about another journalist, and they'll come away with a glowing review, and then I'll get in the car, get it for like a week loan and drive it. And I just can't wait to give it back. And I'm like, I don't know what he was thinking writing this, you know, because I have a totally different opinion and you'll have a different opinion about what we feel like. So, you know, use what we say as guardrails, but absolutely drive these vehicles. And you know, I think that'll help you decide which one you want. Invest a little time in taking a few for a test drive and that'll probably sort it out for you.
All right. So speaking of Model Ys, I just popped this one in. This is, it's really hard to find like super low mileage Model Ys in all-wheel drive in a, at a decent price in the, what's the $35,000 price. You know, but you put that into the car finder websites and your options are kind of limited. But I did find this one with 12,341 miles. So this gentleman, this family, they put on a lot of miles. Like, I think it's worked out to like a little over 20,000 a year. So you don't, if you go used, you don't want to get something with a lot of miles on already because they'll be, you know, piling up more and more. It's a 2020 though, so that puts you back a little bit. I'm not sure if I get right off the top of my head what the warranty is on this, but if it's not up yet, it will be soon. So that's probably another consideration as well. You probably want to stay newer, as new as you can, so you don't have to worry too much about those sort of problems. So I was thinking, I lean more into the 300 mile thing, and I was thinking maybe a Nissan Ariya might be a way to go. In front wheel drive, you have some that are available with just over 300 miles of range, and they're in that price range, especially used. You can find them with pretty low mileage. Like here's one here with 3,300 miles on it. You know, 2023 Ariya Venture Plus, $27,000. That's a great price, I think. And I think the Nissan Ariya also would be kind of interesting looking with a wrap on it. I was kind of thinking what would be a kind of a unique vehicle to wrap as well, you know, so it'd be kind of stand out. And I think the Ariya, we don't really see a lot of those on the road really. So it might, I don't know, I think it would wear a wrap pretty decently. Yeah. And what else do we have? Oh, I was also thinking about the Chevy Equinox EV in LT1. Yeah, I think that has like a 319 mile range.
No, 1LT.
1LT, right.
1LT, yeah. Right.
Has like a 319 mile range in front. It's front wheel drive, so not rear drive, like you say. That's the problem with that Nissan as well. I'm sure that's going to be only front wheel drive. But with good snow tires on, I really feel like you really shouldn't have to worry about, you know, drive. I mean, but if you want to, man, it's kind of tricky when you throw the all-wheel drive stipulation in there with a $35,000 price tag and, you know, relatively low mileage as well.
Well, how about then? How about a Model Y from 2023? So we're only looking at the most 18 months old. And they haven't optioned the white, which is the free color. So they've not cheaped out, which is good. In fact, they've gone for what was red back then, like $2,500 or something. I've zoomed in. Hang on, I'm trying to scroll down and my Mac is zooming in. I want to scroll down. This was 35. So, come on. I can't use my magic mouse. Oh God.
How many miles on this?
6,000 miles.
That's a deal.
On this, I can't, for some reason, I'm scrolling down on my Mac mouse and it's, can I use the trackpad? Come on. can't even scroll down.
Two fingers on the trackpad?
Oh no, look, I can't even, I've just moved from a PC to a Mac. I can't even scroll down a web page. But like, trust me, I can't even see what deal this is. Maybe I need to do that. Oh, there we go. That's it. I clicked the wrong. It is all my fault. That's stupid me.
Oh, that is good. 37.
Model Y. So number 37. So stretch your budget, 6,000 miles. And this is, it's in all the right things. Like it's going to look a little bit different. It's not just another white Tesla flying around. They got the nice wheels on it. And I think that would be you know, 6,000 miles in, what, 18 months at the most, if it's an early 2023. They, you know, they've barely driven that. It's barely, it'll be like, feel like a new car to you. So you can get some good deals out for that sort of thing. And there's a deal to be done. So maybe you get it for 36 and like $1,000 off or something with a dealership. So I think you can get, an interesting Model Y.
That was a good car.
I wish we could get the Model Y for that price over here.
That was
obviously
a good deal, man.
You know, right-hand drive and the supply is a little bit different. Here in the UK, prices are still pretty strong for the Model Y. It's still, you know, it still feels like a newer car. Of course, it is compared to the Model 3, but stupid thing to say. But the prices haven't, the Model 3 depreciation, because it got the refresh and when it got dechromed and stuff like that, and the and the various improvements, the slightly bigger battery that it had in, what, the 20, what was that, 21? And so it's had lots of improvements, so there's lots of reasons for the older ones to depreciate. So the Model 3, you get amazing deals. Model Y, not so much here yet. We'd love a price as good as that.
Right. All right, so let's move on to our last email then, I guess. It comes to us from Sandra, and she says, I accidentally found your podcast while researching more about EVs and really enjoy the conversation style format you have. Thank you, Sandra. Our daily commute is 100. My daily commute is 100 miles. Wow. I drive a 2024 Sienna and have close to 25,000 miles on it already. I'm looking to acquire an EV, but keep the Sienna. My main considerations are better driver assist features to help me stay safer on my commute. Tesla's basic autopilot is sufficient for most of my use cases, but the FSD could come in handy with the monthly subscription option on occasional longer trips. Number two, lower operating costs than my Sienna. Check. Number three, I travel with my dogs in kennels in my car. I plan to have at least 1 to 2 kennels in the EV. I will use the Sienna when I need to bring 3+ dogs with me. Four, I qualify for the federal tax credit of $7,500 and the Washington EV rebate, $9,000 for a 3-year lease, $5,000 for purchase new. That will start in August 2024. For Tesla, I'm looking at buying a Model Y and keeping it longer term. For non-Tesla, I'm looking at leasing Hyundai Ioniq 5, Kia EV6, or EV9 because of higher depreciation, no reliable charge network, and no FSD. Number six, I am in no hurry. Monthly payment of $500 or less preferred. Given the incentive/rebate, buying used doesn't seem to make that much of a difference in saving compared to buying new? Thanks for any insights or guidance you can provide. Sandra. All right. This is a bit of a conundrum. Tom, what are you thinking?
You know, another case of, I think, somebody who's thought this out well. I like where you're at thinking. I mean, you've got all these bullet points here. So it's, you know, you've given this a lot of thought. And, you know, coming up with the Model Y seems to be something that, you know, when somebody says, I'm thinking about a Model Y, it's very hard for any of us to say, nah, I think you should go somewhere else, because it is such a good deal. And, you know, with the Tesla Supercharger network, it makes it so much easier to get around. It's got a lot of space in that. You might even be able to fit all 3 dogs in there. So, you know, it's hard to root against it. You know, I am a big EV9 fan. I had the opportunity to drive one recently, and there's one scooting around my town here now. So I see it frequently driving around, and the more I see it, the more I like it. So as I mentioned to one of the previous cases, spend a little time and drive both vehicles. You know, you may have already driven a Model Y. They're very easy. You can get one on Turo or something for a couple of days for really not a lot of money, and live with it for a couple of days, see how you like how it drives and everything. I'm not so sure you could really get an EV9 that way. There's not too many of them out there, but you can certainly go down to a Kia dealership, take one for a nice extended test drive. You know, I don't think the dealer should have a problem with that if you're a potential serious buyer, and see what you just like sitting in better. They're both, I think, really good vehicles. And as I said, it's so hard to steer somebody away from a Model Y if they have that on their mind, if they think that's a good fit and a vehicle that they like, you know, it's, I wouldn't do anything to discourage somebody from getting a Model Y. It's, you know, if somebody comes at us and doesn't say, oh, I'm thinking about a Model Y, I think then we're more inclined to say, well, have you checked out the Ioniq 5, the EV6, the Mustang Mach-E, you know, all these other, you know, Model Y competitors. But if somebody comes at us saying, you know, I'm really thinking about the Model Y, it's hard to say, nah, push that to the side. Go get yourself an ID4. That's a better choice over a Model Y. So, I would, you know, I'd take a good look at the EV9 though. I think you'd really like that. But obviously take a Model Y for a little while, a drive for a while. And that really might be the sweet spot for you.
I like that EV9 suggestion, but I think the prices aren't quite there yet. Like, I just looked them up really, really quick here, and this is so sorted by the lowest price, 40 and used. So $45,000 seems to be where it starts at, and her budget is, she wants like around $500 a month. So I believe that's closer to like $30,000 basically with financing. But maybe with the incentives that she mentions, that it can come down quite a bit. I'm not sure if her budget. If you know, I assume, I'm not sure. Yeah, if she wants the if the 30,000 ish budget is before or after the incentives are taken into consideration, but if she can get, what is it, 5,000 for purchase new, so that would have to be a new one, so that'd be $12,500 off a new vehicle. That could get her down a little ways. I'm not sure though if the EV9 is still quite there. Looking at the Tesla Model Y, which is also, you know, a great choice. So this is Tesla Model Y. Is this? Oh, this is. Take this off, right? So they start at in rural drive. They start at $45,000 basically. Eligible for all those incentives, so that would bring it down well into your pretty much close to your budget, I think. Yeah, just in 32,000-33,000 miles range, and that would give you 320 miles of EPA range and a great charging network. You put a lot of miles in your cars. So I think that's a good consideration there. Let me just pop that up on the screen, actually. So you can see this. Yeah, it's 320 miles of range. Decent performance, 6.5, 0 to 60. Not really that important. But with a long range, you get, you know, long range, right? Because you go to all-wheel drive, price goes up, the range goes down. So I think this might be the sweet spot for you, at least in the Tesla world. But there are other, you know, things you could consider as well. I think I have what I have marked down here. I have the Hyundai Ioniq 5 SE. So you could find in your budget, I think. Let's see, pull this up here real quick. The nice white example, SE, $29,900, only 6,800 miles on it. So if you're buying a used car, you want to start with a low mileage vehicle, of course, as low as possible, since you put, you know, a lot of miles on your cars. You know, you don't want to start with a fairly high mileage car already, because, you know, yeah, they'll be done soon. But yeah. So I have that, and I was also looking at the Equinox. Again, 1LT. Let's see what we pull up here. And Equinox, 1LT. Yeah, 60 miles, brand new, 37. This is at the top of your budget, I think. This would be, they're estimated 705 a month, so that's, you know, significantly above 500 a month. But look around, maybe low mileage used Equinoxes, possibly. I think we saw some in the below 30,000, right? But that would be another, the 1LT would be 300, a little over 300 miles of range again. So definitely doable and workable for what you're, all the miles that you're piling up. I believe you're in Washington State too. So if you're closer to the coast, I guess there's not a lot of snow. Do I have that right? Tom, I know it's the opposite coast of you, but I assume you've been to Washington State.
Yeah, I've been to Washington State. I don't know exactly geographically where you get a lot of snow. I just know every time I go there, the areas that I go to, like, you know, Seattle, whatever the places are, like, yeah, we don't really get much snow here. And it's, I just don't understand how that works. I'm not a climatologist, or, you know, but I'm like, I'm looking at, like, New Jersey is like lower than where you are. And we get buried sometimes, and they're like, yeah, maybe it snows an inch a year. So I don't really understand where, what parts of Washington get snow and what parts don't. It seems like it's counterintuitive to me, but sorry, I can't help you out with that, Dom.
Yeah, I think it's closer to the water. There's like the Pacific currents or whatever, warmer water than the Atlantic, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just know on the West Coast is always a little bit warmer than the East Coast, in, on, at least in Canada as well. So it's just below British Columbia. Mm. So, yeah.
It just surprises me because it looks like the area is so north, and yet people are like, yeah, yeah, we don't get snow here. And I'm like, how is that? You know? But again, right. I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box.
All right. So I guess we could leave it at that.
So I had one for you, Sandra. I have this up my sleeve every so often. I'm always looking to recommend this car because I love this car. I used to have a 100-mile commute personally, and so I know what it's like to do the 50 miles each way, an early morning, late night. It was a job that took a lot, and I had a bit of a commute to get there. 50 miles here is quite a long distance in the UK to commute, for instance, by the way. And so I feel you. I feel your 100-mile daily commute, because by Friday, and I live by the seaside as well. I live by the beach. It's like Beverly Hills on sea. And so everyone comes here on a Friday. So that would take twice as long to come home on a Friday. So you want that nice car. You got the doggos, you need a bit of space. And you mentioned about you weren't sure about new or used, and could you get a new car or not? And I just say, look, I don't get to recommend this very often, but I tried to think of the nicest possible space that you could be inside for your commute, and that would be the EQB 350. This is a $60,000+ car that just 2 years later is a $30,000 car. There's a deal to be done on this car, by the way. Yeah, it's $590 with the financing they've got, but you can get that financing down, I'm sure. This is a beautiful place to be. It's got great mileage on it. It's got all the toys on it. And you know, the dogs are in kennels, so they're not going to tear up the car, but you might not care about that. But it's a very nice place to spend your 500 miles every single week of your life. It's a quality of life thing. And you mentioned about depreciation. The owner of this car in the last 2 years has, you know, taken an absolute bath on this. There's no way it's going to lose another $30,000 in the next 2 years, because otherwise there'd be a free car in the year 2026. And so I'm not saying it won't lose any more value, but it's taken its hit, and I don't think you're going to have a terrible time if you keep this for 2 or 3 years. Have a look at that, my friend Sandra. I'd love you to at least take a test drive in an EQB 350. This is a good spec, the top spec, and or maybe there's a plus in there as well. I'm not sure. But this is nice. Have a look at this. You and the doggos will do some good journeys in this.
That's a very good point, Martin. And I'm sorry, I almost tried to cut you out of that whole conversation.
Hey, I don't care. It's fine. Sure. Look, we're over time. We got to go.
I lost track of what was going on.
Is that right?
But I like that EQB. I stuck my head inside one of those recently at the dealership, and that is a nice place to spend time. And a good point with that, those super long commutes, you want your cabin to be as nice as possible, because you're going to be spending a lot of time in there. And the EQB definitely has a nice, cushy, you know, cabin. I haven't driven it myself, so I'm not sure what the ride is, but I suspect it's probably pretty good. It's got that three-pointed star on the hood. So the last Mercedes I was in was very nice.
It's all good.
I suspect.
The voice activation system is trash in that, because you'll be giving somebody a lift, and they'll say, wow, I like your new Mercedes. And the car goes, yes. And you go, no, just saying I mean, Sandra, you bought a nice Mercedes. And the car goes, yes. And you go, no, okay. So you have to call it the car. Apart from that, then turn that off, and that's fine. The rest of it is all really good.
Right. Oh, you're on mute there, Tom.
I think you can change the name, though, right, Martin?
Oh, can you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can change the name. To whatever name you want, you can give it a name. So, you know, I don't think that that should be a problem, because I remember when I was in a test drive with I think it was EQS. I forget what it was. One of the Mercedes. I was with a test drive with Mercedes engineers, and they were giving me the overview of the system. And they're like, you know, you say, hey, Mercedes, or just Mercedes. So you could change the name to whatever you want. And I said, oh, so I can say, you know, hey, BMW. And the guy just smiled and he said, believe it or not, we've blocked like 5 names and BMW is one of them. So you can't rename your voice command and call your car BMW in a Mercedes. I thought that was pretty interesting.
that's a very German
call it like
thing.
Wiener Schnitzel or something like that, I guess.
Hey, at least this was back. This was years ago. This was like, God, I forget when it was, but that was at least what he told me at the time. He's like, yeah, there's only a few names you can't rename it.
Interesting. What else has absolutely had a tanking? EQE. They start at 44, which is still crazy, by the way. But you can't quite get an EQE.
Audi e-tron?
EQE 350 Plus is starting at 43 with 5,000 miles a minute. So, yeah, that's got a little way to come down, because that would just be a ridiculous car. It's not really good for the doggos, because that's not the the SUV version. Audi e-tron. Yeah, I mean, yes. obviously with the Q8 coming out, obviously that's just pushed prices down. Right. That's a recommendation for everything. It goes without saying. Just go and just buy an Audi e-tron.
I mean, I haven't looked at them for a while, but if I popped them up on the screen really, really quick here, I see there's some already under $25,000 used.
No.
So if you, wow, 2019 Premium Plus, it's got a lot of miles on it. So yeah, that's no good. But find one with lower miles on it, 36. Yeah, you need to set this thing over here to any mileage. Yeah, we want 10,000 or less, and then we're back up into the low mid 30s basically.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, mid 30, 810 miles. This is a brand new car, basically, a 2019.
Wow. No one's driven that. That's crazy.
It's just sat in on a showroom or in a garage or somewhere forever. Or a little closer here. This is a little bit better, actually. I like the newer 2022 Premium Plus. That's the top. That's a high spec, right? I believe. But only 5,000 some miles, $35,000. That might be super nice too. I'm not sure if I'd like that more than the EQB or not. But I think those two would be pretty closely matched. But yeah. All right. That's it for me. All right. So, is that all we have for the day?
I think that's a wrap.
There we go.
Okay. So that brings us to the end of our show. If you're looking for your own bespoke EV recommendation, drop us a line at batteriesincludedpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe. Tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.